In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ is risen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we rejoice in this beautiful time, the church still radiant in white, our souls still hopefully radiant, some of the newly baptized in their white robes, giving us that paschal joy. And we're in this 40 days time. We know our Lord, after His resurrection, stayed with, among His disciples, working incredible miracles for the 40 days until His ascension. And so we who prayed and repented, and were always repenting, but really gave ourselves to the 40 days of Lent and to Holy Week for the purpose of what? To know Christ. To live differently. To repent, because the obstacle between us knowing God is one thing. Our sinfulness. Our hard-heartedness. Our worldliness. So Lent is given to us like a spiritual boot camp to remind us what we always should be doing. In other words, we should always be thinking of Christ all the time. We should always be wanting to be in church more. We should always want to love others more than ourselves. It's very simple, the Christian life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And yet, in our very distracted, insane, passionate world, it's become a tall order. But not an impossible one. The saints show us that it's not impossible to live a holy, beautiful life. It's not for special people that are other than us. We often think that sanctity or holiness or these saints were somehow just totally different creatures than us. And that, you know, I'm just a regular guy or gal, Father Justin, come on. I'm just normal. I want to watch my show, do my thing. They were all normal. They all had sinfulness. They all had judgment. They all had family issues. All of them. So what differentiates them from us? One thing. They fell in love with the living Christ. They fell in love with the deathless God. The early disciples especially, they didn't know who Christ really was. They just fell in love with He who has said the most beautiful words. He who has done the greatest miracles. We see it all clearly. They didn't. And they still loved Him. So one thing gives true joy. The resurrected Christ who died and will never die again, and death is destroyed. And insofar as we love Christ, and we live a life in the church, and a life, it's a joyful life, then we start to begin to taste that resurrectional life, not just when you die, but even in this life. When you uproot your sins and your passions, when you stop your certain addictions, when you stop judging, when you start getting out of bed, when you start having some kind of spiritual discipline in your life, it's given by the church. Not a man-made institution. The Lord said, I will establish this church, and upon this rock, I will establish it. Not the rock of Peter, that's not incorrect. Upon the rock of His confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we confess God and live this life, life becomes so much more beautiful and fulfilling and real. Not just when you die, as I said last night. So last Sunday we celebrated Thomas Sunday. The doubt of Thomas gives us belief. And so, just like in Lent, we have different themes each Sunday to inspire us to be closer to God, to love, to repent, to not just forget about Christ and the kingdom of God. We're also given these themes now. So last Sunday was Thomas, the Lord revealing Himself to Thomas, and Thomas coming to faith. And now we're given these beautiful, beautiful people this week. Hundreds of millions of Orthodox Christians around the world are celebrating the honor and memory of the holy myrrh-bearing women. Their icons in the back. That was them. The same women who didn't flee from the cross also didn't flee from the tomb. We also remember Joseph and Nicodemus on this day. Think about the incredible faith of these women. Everyone is destroyed. Everyone thought that Jesus was going to be a worldly savior. Deliver them from the oppression of the Romans and deliver them. And now it's over. I guess he was a pretty nice guy, but he's dead like everybody else. They all leave him. Look, except for St. John and the women. It's always been this way. Since from then until now, women have always been the backbone of the church. It's so beautiful that today is Mother's Day. Because the mothers are the foundation of society, of a family, and of the church. Who did Christ first reveal Himself to after His resurrection? Not to Peter, not to Paul, to Mary Magdalene, the sinful woman who had seven demons the Lord drove out, and she fell in love with the living God. I mean that in a spiritual way. She found a life in Christ was more beautiful than any delight of this world. That's what they all did. And she became an incredible sacrificial person. All these ladies followed Jesus for his whole ministry for those 3 years. They gave their own money. They often sacrificed their own husbands and their children to follow Jesus at all costs. Because he had the words of life, and they wanted others to hear the words of life. Their struggles were petty because their hearts were so full of the resurrection of God, and they became resurrected. No more fear of death. No more scariness. No more depression. Light had dawned for them, and it had no sunset. That's why Christianity and the living God is the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. It will never happen. It's the greatest thing ever. Nothing new under the sun. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we're constantly growing in Him. That's why Christianity, the Orthodox Church, has survived 2,000 years. The worst persecutions ever. The greatest, most powerful man in the world, the Roman Emperor, who could destroy anything, he took these measly, uneducated Christians and apostles and fishermen and women and men and children, and he made it his goal to stomp them out and to draw their blood and to snuff out any Christianity. And what happened? The church grew. The blood of the martyrs waters the tree of the church. It's always been this way. It happened in the first centuries. It happened under the Ottoman Turks when the Muslims came and destroyed the Christians. And it happened all through history. And it happened under communism in Russia, where they killed 60 million Christians. More saints, more martyric saints were made in those 70 years than the history of the church combined. The world looks at Russia during communism and says, oh, it wasn't too good, right? They killed a lot of people. 90% of the priests and bishops were killed. We say, people found Christ even in the hell of the gulag, and there was no sunset to their faith, and they passed the light that has no end to the living eternity with God. And we have millions of saints who are praying for us. These icons on the wall depict a spiritual reality, which is that this life is not the end. And they are our cheerleaders, St. Paul says. Cloud of witnesses who are saying, you can do it. You can live a holy life. You can love. You can repent. You can stop lusting. You can be, even though, yes, you like your show and you like your food, you can be a holy person. It's for every single person. Orthodox Christianity isn't just for special people or smart people that read books or certain people like this. We made a catechumen today, Kevin. Kevin's a very intellectual guy. He reads a lot. He keeps me on my toes. And then we have some people that can't read at all. And you know what? Both beautiful for the kingdom of heaven, and both can be healed in the kingdom of God. It's not made for special people, smart people. It's for every human soul, illiterate, homeless, doctor, lawyer, president, anybody. That's what Christ came to announce. Not a worldly religion, a whole life. But now we're so messed up. 20,000 denominations of Christianity. Everyone's confused. And Orthodoxy is sadly just kind of ranked in with what's kind of like Catholicism. It's so not true. It is life. It is the apostolic life, the way it's been lived from the beginning. This service taking place right now is taking place with hundreds of millions of Orthodox Christians in tons of different countries, and it's the same exact service. The same belief, the same theology, the same freedom for souls who are tormented by their addictions and by their sin and by their lack of love. And it's been freeing people. It's the spiritual hospital that's been healing people since that time, and it'll never stop. It'll keep creating healed people like you. It'll keep creating saints if you want to be like that. These ladies were incredible. I end today by saying this. Their faith is so inspiring, we can emulate it. How? So think about it. All the apostles left at the crucifixion. It's over. They rolled a huge stone in front of the grave. If you go to Jerusalem and see the things, you're not moving that stone with 100. No way. Especially a couple women aren't going to move it, guaranteed. What do? They go anyway. They go anyway. They do kind of a psycho thing. Right? We might say they're mentally ill. Right? They go to anoint his body. That's why they're called the myrrh-bearing women. They were carrying the ointment because, remember, when St. Nicodemus and St. Joseph of Arimathea, who were great saints of the church, by the way, when they risked their lives, they're both saints of the Orthodox Church, Christian saints, who were both baptized and gave their lives for Christ, They risked everything and they were cast out of the Jews for taking the body of Jesus publicly. But they anointed it very quickly and put it in the new tomb because there was no time because of the Sabbath, remember? But now the ladies were coming to do what was not finished. They didn't know, they just knew that they loved him and that it was worth anything. And so think about that. You're saying they're going to go to the gigantic stone, it's impossible to move. Why bother going? Because they hoped beyond hope. We say in the liturgy, Lord, you're the hope of the hopeless, the helper of the helpless. With God, all things are possible. This world wants to crush your faith. It wants to destroy your faith. It wants to make you materialist. It wants to make you think this world is all there is. It wants you to love sin and lust and inappropriate images and gluttony and addictions and your ego and your pride and your comfort and tell you that's real life. And that sacrificing those things is miserable and it's slavery. It's not. Living a life for God, dedicated to the church, praying, fasting, it is so far from miserable. That's the devil's lie to the whole world to keep them from setting foot in this church and even making a beginning. Because when you make a beginning, life dawns from the grave. These open doors in the liturgy symbolize the tomb being broken open and the living Christ coming out of them to each of us. Our faith looks stupid to this world around us. Our fasting looks stupid. All those are stupid. It's just stupid because it's different. And when you're lazy and you want to eat, someone telling you not to, something that's offensive. But it's freedom. Stop judging. Well, don't tell me. Judging kills our hearts. Judging, lying, anger, frustration, right? We're all racked with our sins. It needn't be that way. You can be totally free in holy baptism, in constant repentance, having a spiritual father like a coach to help you in the church, prayer, fasting. We have so many beautiful prayers. We have so many beautiful spiritual books, so many saints that are praying for us, these beautiful services above all. You receive the living God into you. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And baptized Orthodox Christians throughout the world, just like you today, will receive the living God into you in the greatest mystery. The world wants to say, that makes no sense. That's not fun. Don't listen to that. The world's dying. Look at where it's going. Great progress, great technology, more depression, more suicide, more insanity. Don't listen to it. In this world, but not of it. Don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to be laughed at for your faith. Many of us are ashamed to make our cross. We're ashamed to announce. We're ashamed to say, please come to church. Ashamed to live our life in Christ. And that's a deathly way of living. When you love Christ, I fell in love with my wife, I wasn't ashamed. I wanted to tell everybody. It should be so much more with Christ. Not in a pompous, judgmental way, but I'm so messed up and broken. I have found life. I have found life and abundantly. Please come. I want you to have life too. Really love your friends and your neighbors. You'd care more about their salvation than hurting their feelings, maybe by making them a little uncomfortable by inviting them or making your cross. I fear that means that we haven't fallen in love with Christ when we need to, and it's external. It won't save you if it's external. These ladies today we celebrate today, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, risked their life, their status, everything, and they lost it all to love Jesus and anoint his body. They gave their jobs, their wealth, and they gave their lives and their blood, and they rejoiced over it because they found life in exchange. These holy women, who were they? Right? Mary, the mother of Joseph, right? Salome, Joanna, Susanna, all the beautiful ladies in the New Testament you hear about, the mother of God, Mary Magdalene, all these beautiful women. They went to the tomb when there was no hope. It was ridiculous. It was a hope against hope. And the Lord did what? They came, they were saying, who will roll the stone away from us in the tomb? That's like us saying, why bother even going to church? I'm not going to change. Why bother believing this? I don't even see him. I don't even know God very well. Why bother fasting? Why go to confession? Why? But you say, you know what? I'm going anyway. I'm going to hope against hope because it's worth believing. It's the greatest hope there is. Faith, St. Paul says, is hope in things unseen. It's the greatest hope. When a person dives into that hope, the Lord rewards it. Look what he did. They went, laughed at by the world, impossible to move a stone, and they come. Who will roll away the stone for us? We love you more than even reason, Christ. They come, and what happens? The stone is gone. It's rolled away, and an angel. You see, in Icon, an angel appears. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you mourn the corrupt among corruption? Go tell the disciples, the Lord is risen. The greatest words ever. The Lord is risen. Not only the person you love, Jesus, He's God. He's the living God, God-man. And He rose from the dead, and you can live forever with Him in eternity. Can you imagine their joy? Can you look how the Lord rewarded their faithfulness? The world mocked it, the Lord rewarded it. I beg each of us today to fall in love with the living Christ. It's not special people that are saved. It's not special people that become prayerful, that become humble, become loving. That's asked of every single one of us. The world lies to us. The church today and forever, and to the end of time, will announce, you are made for eternity. Christ came not to give you rules, not to give you... No, to give you an unending life with Him. And it's so joyful, nothing can get you down. Nothing. They were killed. St. Mary Magdalene went on to be... She preached the gospel to the face of the Emperor Tiberius. She gave the red, she gave the egg and said, Christ is risen. Why would you red eggs on Easter? Did you know that? And he said, Christ is risen. That's not true at all. That's like saying that that egg can become red. Christ is risen. And the egg became red. A great miracle of St. Mary Magdalene. And she gave her life along with her children, and they're all martyrs of the church. Incredible. You might say, sad ending. No. Launch into eternity. We're not afraid to die. We're going to die. Tomorrow or 100 years from now, whenever. And it's going to be glorious for a person who loves Jesus Christ. Don't live in the shadows. Don't live in fear and one foot in the world, one foot, no, in the world. Do your jobs. Go to school. Be full of love. But may this church be your life. And you know what? No matter how sinful you are, no matter how sinful this priest is, no matter how sinful, if you take the minutes in the church, if you have a spiritual father and you love him, if you have a priest that will guide you, if you're willing to follow the fasting of the church, willing to read the gospel a little bit each day, start saying the Jesus prayer, start working on yourself, and stop being so darn selfish, and you're here, you can become a saint. And you can find the greatest joy that's available to all mankind. And the greatest, you can go and share it. The Lord said to them, go and tell the apostles I'm risen. If we take risks for the Lord and sacrifice, He'll reveal Himself to us, and then He'll ask us to go and reveal to other people by our life, by a transfigured life in Him. May our Lord Jesus Christ especially bless all these beautiful women of our parish, who are the modern Mary women, our mothers, our presbyteras, our matriscas, the mothers, the priest's wives, all the beautiful ladies of this church, whether they have children or not, they're the mothers of all of us, and they guide us. And I'm so thankful that you have awesome saints to emulate, ladies. And we men have only to bow before you and see that every mother is very saintly and a path to the kingdom of heaven. So may God help us to keep our paschal joy, have the boldness of the Marbury women, and may the never-setting light of Christ, may it dawn upon our hearts. May we announce this to this broken world around us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Amen.